Okay, let's start lesson number 8, still on the series, How to Spoil the Devil's Plan for Your Life, which is a really good subject to explore, since the devil does have a plan for your life, but we don't have to accept it, so let's find out how to spoil it. We're going to talk about Know Your Authority, Part 2. Now, last lesson, we really spent most of our time just demonstrating the fact that we do have authority over the devil and some other authority as well. But we didn't really discuss what that covers specifically. And I'd like to go into that a little bit more tonight. You know, say you had a, you know, I'm just thinking, say you worked for a big company and you got a big raise and a promotion. And your boss came up to you and he said, here, this whole new department, is you're in charge of it. I give you authority over it. And then he just left you there. Well, what would your first question be? I mean, what does that authority include? You know, I mean, what limits do I have to this authority? What does that include? So when Jesus tells me you've got authority on the earth, I like to know specifically what that includes. See, if I know specifically what my authority includes, then I have something to really latch on to when things seem to be going against the authority that I'm supposed to have. I can just say, no, you don't. Stop. Cease. Desist. I have authority here, and I'm not going to accept this situation in my life. I have rights here, and I demand my rights in Jesus' name. Now, unless you know what you have authority over, you can't very well do that. So what I'd like to do tonight is very specifically discuss what we have authority over. We probably won't get everything. There's a few more things I don't even have in this outline we have authority over, and we can do that next time. But tonight, I'd like to go in a little detail about what we have authority over. Now, open your Bibles to John chapter 14, and let's just find out what the Word of God says that we have authority over, okay? John chapter 14, and let's look at verse number 10 here. All right, Marianne, do you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Would you read 10 through 12, please?
Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father.
All right. In those words, Jesus said some amazing things there. He said, first of all, this goes against the grain of what a lot of people think. He said in this first 10th verse here, he says, I'm not doing these works that you think I'm doing. It's not me doing them. He says, the Father that dwells in me, he's doing the works. See, when Jesus came to this planet and was born of a virgin, he gave up his godly powers, all right? Temporarily, while he was on this earth for 33 years. Why did he do that? He did that for this main reason, to show us how we could live when he went away. He came here, still God. I'm not saying he wasn't God, but he lived as a man, and he gave up his godly powers while he was here. And he says very clearly right here, he says, I'm telling you the truth here in verse 10. He says, the Father that dwells in me is doing the works. In other words, the works that he did. What did he do? He cast out devils. He changed water into wine. He walked on the water. All the things that Jesus did while he was here. He healed the multitudes of people. He fed the multitude. He fed the 5,000. He did all of those things. How did he do those things? Because he was God? No. The Father that dwelt in him through the Holy Spirit did the works. Jesus said so right here. He didn't do it. Jesus did not do this on his own as God. He did it because of the Father dwelling in him through the Holy Spirit. Now that's a very important concept because we're going to find out tonight something very interesting. The same way that Jesus did his works on the earth is the same exact way that you and I are going to do these works on the earth. Why? because Jesus didn't live here as God. He lived here as a man who was God, but he gave up his godly powers, and his Father did the works by the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. And we're going to find out, before we're done tonight, that's exactly the way that you and I are to work and do these works as well. All right, let's just prove that, okay? Let's turn now, just hold your finger there, and turn back to John chapter 5. I'm going to spend a little time here in John. And let's look at verse 36. Karen, do you have John chapter 5, verse 36? Because Jesus is speaking here still.
I have testimony weightier than that of John for the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me.
Okay, now listen to what he said here. Who gave Jesus these works to do?
God
the Father. This is the Father has given me to finish his works, all right? And then the last statement, he says, who sent Jesus? Who sent Jesus to this earth?
Father
has sent me. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him. He sent him. The Father sent Jesus to this earth, all right? Now, that seems like, well, I knew that, but I just want to establish that because I'm going to use that fact in just a second here. The two facts I want you to get here is the Father gave these works to Jesus. The Father sent Jesus here, okay? It's the Father working the works through Jesus. All right, so the Father sent Jesus with his authority to carry out his works. That's the first thing we've learned here. Okay, is everybody clear on that? The Father sent Jesus to this earth with his authority. Why do I say his authority? It says here, the Father has given me to finish the works. They came from the Father. You know, if Father gave him these works to do, that means he gave him the authority to do them. He says, Son, this is what I want you to do. How much greater authority could you get than the Heavenly Father saying, this, Son, is what I want you to do? That was Jesus' authority to do these works. Came from the Father. And the Father sent him. Now turn, keeping your finger in John chapter 14, because we're going to be back there, to Luke chapter 4. I wouldn't have to go through all these scriptures, but I think if I do, you're going to see some things here that's going to stay with you. It's going to help you to understand more clearly how we are supposed to do the works that Jesus gives us to do, and how he's already given us this power. All right, I'm going to read this one. Luke 4:18, Jesus said this. Now listen to what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to get. Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Now, there is the power source that Jesus did his works with. Because he said, he has anointed me. Who anointed him? The Father. The Father anointed him. How do we know? Because he go on here and say, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me. Who sent Jesus?
Father.
The Father sent Jesus. So that same one that sent him, he's talking about here. So he's saying here, let me just put the Father in here now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because the Father has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The Father has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The Father has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. The Father has sent me for recovering of sight to the blind. The Father has sent me to set at liberty them that are bruised. The Father has sent me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, here's what I want to get across in this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus because the Father anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Now, why did the Father anoint Jesus with the Holy Spirit? To do all these things here. To preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, to get recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Why didn't he just do them? Because he gave up his godly powers before he came to earth. Therefore, for him to do these works, his Father had to anoint him with the Holy Ghost. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan? Mm-hmm. And the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a what?
Dove.
Dove. And at that moment, the Father said something. And he said,
"This is my Son, whom I love."
Right. That's exactly what he said. "This is my beloved Son." All right. Now, I want you to get this, because it tells you, we're going to find out this is exactly what he's going to do with us. The Father sent Jesus with his authority to carry out his works. The Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit power to do the works. Now turn back to John chapter 14, where we were before. And I'll read verse 12 again. Now we find out that in verse 14:10 again, he said, "The Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works." Now you can understand that, can't you? Because the Father is doing the works that he wants done through Jesus by his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Jesus is simply an agent, a willing agent, willing to carry out his Father's will on the earth, to go where his Father tells him to go, to preach what his Father tells him to preach, to work the miracles that his Father shows him to work, all with the power of the Holy Spirit inside. All Jesus did while he was on the earth was what his Father told him to do. That's why he says here, "The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." In John 5:30, it says, Jesus said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." Did everybody get that? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "I can," that means I can by my own self do nothing. Wow, that would just, I don't know why Christians haven't read this before, but most Christians, if you just said, "Did you know Jesus didn't do any of those miracles on his own?" they'd go, "What a horrible thing to see." They'd say, "I believe Jesus is God." I do too. I sure do. He's God, all right. But
while he was here, he was man.
Right. He gave up his godly powers. He was still God. I'm not taking that away from him. But he just gave up his powers while he was on the earth to show us how the Father wants to work through us in the future. So he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came upon him. And then he did these works by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says very clearly here, "The Father that dwelleth in me, he's doing the works." He says, "I can of mine own self do nothing." That's interesting, I think. And the reason it's interesting is because later in this lesson, we're going to find out what that means for us. All right. So he did works. The Father did works of his own choosing through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the revelation. The Father does it the same way with us, since we're now Jesus' body on the earth. Do you understand why we're called the body of Christ, Jesus' body now? Because just as Jesus' body on the earth was used by his Father under the power of the Holy Spirit to do the works the Father wants done, so too will Christians, under the same power of the Holy Spirit on this earth where we have our authority, do the Father's works, because we are the same body of Christ that was on this earth 2,000 years ago. He's the head now. He's our head. He's our leader. He's got all his godly powers back, but we're his body. We're on the earth, and we're doing the same things that he did.
Only greater.
And some greater things. Now, that's the whole body of Christ together. But all of us are part of that body. We'll each have functions in that body. We won't all be used to raise the dead. We won't, but some will. We won't all be used to walk on the water, but some will. And that's happened on this earth since Jesus was. Did you know that? I don't know if you ever read a book called, it's by Mel Torre. What was the name of that book? But on the island of Timor, they had some of these miracles back in the 60s that happened there. Water into wine. People witnessed this. People walked on water. In fact, I heard him speak one time. You don't have to believe this. It's not in the Bible. But there's an interesting book out that he wrote about this. Just a simple peasant man that lived on this island. And they had hundreds of witnesses to these things. Well, I'm not doing that to glorify him. But I'm saying these works are still being done. Not by everybody, but some members of the body of Christ. But all of us have authority in our own lives, over our own families, over the enemy when he comes against us. We can do it just like Jesus did. And I'm going to prove that to you. Okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's see, Marianne, would you read that verse, please?
Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?
Wow. Paul's saying to him, don't you know that you are the temple of God and God's Holy Spirit dwells in you? Because these Corinthians weren't acting like it very much. They were doing some things they oughtn't to be involved in. They were fighting among themselves. They were taking communion in ways that were pushing out the people that were in their little clique and drinking too much wine. There was a person in the church that was having an affair with his stepmother. They were using the gifts of the Spirit in a way that they needed correction in. The Corinthians were really kind of a licentious bunch. And he says right here to them, don't you know that you're the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Just turn your couple pages here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at verse 19. Honey, read that one too.
Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own.
Wow. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you. You are not your own. That's something good to keep in mind, isn't it? That we are God's. We've been, just like Jesus was God's, sent here to do a purpose, so too is his body on this earth here for a purpose. You know, we need to think about that sometimes. We get so involved in our everyday lives and doing what we're doing that we forget that we have a purpose here. Every one of us ought to ask God, if they don't know, what is my purpose here? Well, we know one purpose is that whenever we have a chance and feel led to do this, tell someone about Jesus and what he's done and how they can accept him too and have what we have. Because, you know, this is the thing that they need to get through life. And there's other things too that we can do. But we have a purpose here. The body of Christ is here for a reason. And it's not just doing our daily chores. That's a means of making a living or whatever. That's good. But we also have a higher purpose here. Every one of us. Madge has, you have a higher purpose. Marianne has a higher purpose. Karen has a higher purpose. Everyone here has some other purpose than what they're doing in their daily life that God's got them here for. Something. Maybe it's interceding.
We don't get to go till we get that done. Either.
Well, we're not supposed to, but some people do. Some people, we're not supposed to, but some people live and die and never find out what God's purpose for them was. And that's a sad situation, really. All right, now, back to John chapter 14 again. Should have told you to keep your fingers there. And we're going to go on here, but just one more little thing that tells you how, a little bit more of how we're going to do these works, all right? Now, I'll read this when it's my turn. John chapter 14. Back in verse 10, we learned this. We learned that the Father that dwells in Jesus is doing the works because he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. And then Marianne read that he said, he that believes on me, how many in here believe on Jesus?
I do.
I do.
Yeah, I do.
All of us do. All right. If you're a believer on Jesus, the works that Jesus did, you're going to do too. Now, you'll never do them unless you step out in faith and do some of these things, okay? That's why when Madge needed prayer, I don't come in here and think, oh, I've got the answer. I can do this. I can do this. I can't do anything. But I do know that Jesus gave me authority to do some things. I don't have to feel I have it. I don't have to feel goosebumps. All I know is he said here, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. What are some of the greater works? Well, Jesus never got anybody saved, did he? Well, now that everybody was, wait a minute. Well, what I mean by, yes, he went to the cross. He got him saved that way. But Jesus, until he rose from the dead, there wasn't any, you couldn't become a Christian, because to become a Christian, you have to do two things. One thing, you have to believe he rose from the dead, and you can't believe he rose from the dead until he rose from the dead.
So
there were no Christians before he rose from the dead. Okay, the apostles weren't Christians before he rose from the dead, okay? Sorry to shock you, but that's the truth. Because the Word of God says in Romans 10, 9, and 10, that to be saved, you must believe that Jesus rose from the dead and confess him as your Lord. Can't do that until he's risen from the dead. So there's a greater work. How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Nobody did that before then. That's a good work that couldn't be done then. So there's a lot of different things that we can do today as believers because we're past Jesus risen from the dead. Now we get our power from him, don't get me wrong. We're not just running around with like little, we're like God or anything. No, but we do have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us just like Jesus did. All right. Now listen to this in verse 13. This is where it gets really good. All right. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. That word ask there is a little Greek word, A-I-T-E-O, that means to demand. To demand what is due. I looked this up. So we could read it this way. Whatsoever you shall demand as due, due to you, in other words, as your rights, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified through his Son and through his name. And then he says, in verse 14, in case anybody didn't get it, he says, if you shall ask anything in my name, demand anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, we've got to do this in faith, all right? What are the kinds of things that we can demand in faith?
Whatever we can find
in the Word that brings the faith that we can believe in. The faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So we need to get in here, find out the things God's promised us, and use His name if we don't have them yet to make them come into our lives. Everybody clear on that? This is really good. So far, we've found out we have the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus dwelling in us. So we have the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus. We have the same authority through his name to do his works. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, and we'll find out that we have the same power of the Holy Spirit to back us up. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Let's see, Karen, I think it's your turn to read.
And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you.
Listen to what that says there, what Karen read. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, okay, let's just stop right there. Does the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you? Is there anybody in here he doesn't dwell in?
I don't think so.
So that's talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
No. All right. So it says, for all of us here, for Marianne, for myself, for Madge, for Karen, for everyone here, this applies to you. He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. That's an amazing statement right there. We have the same Holy Spirit Jesus had, okay? And he said he will make alive or make full of life your mortal bodies. Just like he did with Jesus. So we have the same power, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus had in him. Now, one last thing here. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. We'll finish this section. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. And Marianne, we'll let you read that one.
You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
Now, I should have said before Marianne read that. He's talking here, if you look in the first three verses, he's talking about evil spirits, all right? He says, don't you know that the spirit, every spirit that says that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, but every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, which you've heard that it should come and is even now already in the world. And then he goes on to verse 4, which Marianne read. Now read it again, honey.
You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them.
Have overcome who?
Evil spirits.
Yeah. What's the tense on that?
Have.
Past tense. How come we've already overcome them? Because we're in Jesus and he overcame them. We're in him. We're his body. God counts that we have done it too because of that. Does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because
the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
The enemy in the world. Mm-hmm. The greater one lives in us. Mm-hmm. You can say that right to the enemy. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. The greater one lives in me. He's backing me up. Mm-hmm. I've been in authority to use Jesus' name, and he's backing me up. The greater one lives right in me. So here's the thing. The thing that I want to get across to you is the same way Jesus, the Father worked through Jesus by the Holy Spirit to do the works that he wanted done, we're to do it the same way. We have the same Holy Spirit, we have the same authority, and we have the same power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had to back us up. There is nothing that Jesus possessed when he walked this earth that enabled him to do the miracles and the works that he did that we don't have right now. Does everyone see that? How did Jesus do it again? Well, he was anointed by his Father with the Holy Spirit power to do the works. Then the Father worked through Jesus to do the works by the Holy Spirit. And we have the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus. There's not two Holy Spirits, right? The same Holy Spirit that came on Jesus in the Jordan River, that same dove-like apparition that came on Jesus, we each have dwelling in us. There's not two Holy Spirits. We have that same Holy Spirit. We have the same authority through his name to do the works. See, Jesus gave us the same Holy Spirit. We have the same authority because Jesus said we could use his name. And we have the same power because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That same power is in us. So we have the power living in us. We have the authority in Jesus' name to do it. We have the same way exactly that Jesus had to work the works that he worked. All right? Now, that is not to say that there isn't greater anointing. Now, Jesus operated in all the gifts of the Spirit. He operated in all the fivefold ministry. Now, each one of us won't do that, but the body of Christ as a whole will, because we're his body. But we all have some works that Jesus wants us to do. All right? Now, so number one, we have authority over anything that Jesus used his authority over. All right, so anything you can find in the Bible outside of him going to the cross, we're not talking about that, and being raised from the dead, not talking about that. That was his substitutionary sacrifice for us. But anything Jesus uses authority on the earth over, we have the same authority and the same Holy Spirit.
In the earth.
In the earth, right. On the earth, exactly. All right, so number one, we know one thing we have authority over, and that is anything Jesus used his authority over. Now, number two, we have authority over all the authority and power of the enemy. Now, we've touched on that, but I want you to see it in a little different way. Now, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Have you heard all this before, or is this... You don't hear
well,
it every day. Let's put it that
that's
way.
That's right. We don't hear it every day. And we've probably all heard it, but maybe understood it differently or understand it now.
Okay. Well, that's a good way to put it. Well, I want you to see, I don't mean this wrongly now. Jesus is on a different level than us, okay? He is God. And he's at the Father's right hand. But when he was on the earth, he took a position as a anointed by the Holy Spirit man to work the works that he did, to show us what our rights were going to, and privileges were going to be on the earth, and the works that we were supposed to do, and then he said, you're my body on the earth, now go do this stuff. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to see that, because a lot of people don't see that. Now, I want you to see this in verse 13. Talking about Jesus here, or talking about the Father, says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, Colossians 1:12, has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now listen. That's talking about the Father, has delivered or rescued, the NIV says, us from the authority of darkness. He's rescued us from the authority of darkness. What is that authority of darkness?
The devil.
The devil. He's rescued us from the authority of darkness. Now listen, it gets better. And has translated us or taken, I looked that up today. That word translated in the King James means to take from one place and put it in another. So let me read it this way. The Father has delivered us from the power, or rescued us from the power of darkness, and has taken us out of that power of darkness, and has placed us in the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus. So when we were born again, something happened. There was a transferring. We were taken out from under the authority of Satan and placed in the kingdom of Jesus. All right? Now, turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And this will show you where He placed us after He took us out from under Satan's thumb. I'll read this one. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions." Now, He's not talking about literal serpents and scorpions. He's talking about demons and evil spirits here. Jesus said, "Behold, I have given unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So we've been taken out from the Satan's authority and placed us over how much of Satan's power does it say here? Over all the power of the enemy. There's not one little bit of power left that the enemy has that we don't have authority over. That's what that means. Mm-hmm. Everybody get that? He's taking us, He says, "I've given unto you authority over all the power of the enemy." All of it. Satan can never come up and lie to you and say, "But I've got a little more in this one area." Mm-hmm. No, all. Over all His power. Every bit of it. So He took us from under Satan's authority and placed us over all Satan's power. Now, to make sure that we know about this, God, in His mercy, used at least 6 different people that I could find in the New Testament to tell us about it. Did you know that? 6 different people. Mark, James, Peter, Paul, John, and Luke all tell us in different words the same thing, that we have been given power over the enemy. So we have, let me just quote some of these because I don't want to go too long. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Mark wrote that Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, in my name shall he cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If he drink any deadly thing, it need not hurt him. Take up serpents, and they won't hurt him if that's necessary. And number 5, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." In his name, he said we could do this. So Mark tells us we have authority over the devil, sickness, or harmful circumstances, such as drinking any deadly thing, then we can claim immunity in the name of Jesus, and that kind of thing. So Mark tells us we have authority to cast out the devil, that we have authority over sickness. We can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark told us that, but the Holy Spirit said it through Mark. Okay? So there's one place that God put it in there, we could say it. In James 4:7, it says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You look up the word flee, and it says, "as one in terror." The enemy just doesn't shrug his shoulders and kind of saunter off. It says here that he runs as one in terror when you use the name of Jesus against him, when you resist him in the name of Jesus. That's a pretty sight. I like that sight. I like this enemy sprinting down the street. "I've got to get away from this guy. He knows about me. He knows his authority over me." That same Greek word for flee there is the same Greek word used in Acts 19:16, where the 7 sons of Sceva tried to cast out a devil, and it said they fled from him, the devil, naked and wounded. Those demons don't like the name of Jesus. They don't like Christians to know their authority in the name of Jesus. You can stop Satan in his tracks instantly with that name. I remember there was a fellow that we were trying to help one time, and he was an inmate at Logansport Mental Institution. And we met him through some people in our church that had him out for a weekend, and he had some obvious problems, and I won't get into all that right now. But one of the problems he had was epilepsy. And in this particular case, and it isn't in all cases, there was a demonic influence over him that was causing this epilepsy. Now, I'm not saying all epilepsy is caused by a demon in you. But in this case, it was, and I knew it. And so he started to go in an epileptic seizure while he was with me. And so I just laid my hands on him and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, stop. Satan, you take your hands off Carl right now. And it stopped right in the middle of his seizure. And he was kind of out of it at the time a little bit, and then he kind of came back right then. And he says, that has never happened before. And he's had these since he was a little child. He said, every other time I have ever had a seizure, it has gone through to completion. I've never had it stop like that. Well, he never had anybody that knew the authority they had in the name of Jesus. I mean, Jesus dealt with epilepsy in the same way. Now, it's sometimes it's a sickness, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's because there's a direct demonic influence, all right? And it stopped just like that. So, resist the devil and he will flee as one in terror. All right, now let's look up 1 Peter 5:8. We'll look that one up together. I don't want to quote all these because if I do, sometimes I think it we don't get as much out of it maybe as we do if we read them together. But I don't want to take too long a time either, so I'm trying to do a little of both here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Let's see, whose turn is it to read now? Karen, would you read this one? Just start in verse 8 and read that whole verse.
Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
Okay. He's telling us, be sober, be vigilant. That's what it says in the King James Version. Why, Peter, are we supposed to be sober and vigilant? He says, because you have an adversary out there. And he's called the devil, and he's going about. You notice he didn't say be scared. He didn't say lock your doors. He didn't say anything like that. He just said to be vigilant. In other words, that's good. Be aware that you do have an adversary out there called the devil who goes about as a roaring lion seeking those he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist him with the name of Jesus. In other words, be aware, be vigilant, that when he comes against you, you can resist him in the name of Jesus. Now, notice it says, he goes about as a roaring lion. And I thought about this today as I read that. I thought, on Halloween, people go about dressed up, pretending to be something they're not.
Yeah.
Don't they? We only do it once a year, the people that do it. Satan does it every day. He goes around every day dressed up as something he's not really. He goes about as a roaring lion. He dresses up in a lion costume, all right? Trying to seek somebody he can devour. Well, right here is someone he can't devour because I won't let him. And I hope you're one of those too. Because we don't have to. You know, if we know our rights and privileges, we can resist him steadfast in the faith. Knowing that when he comes up as a roaring lion, he's dressed in a Halloween costume, basically is what it amounts to. He's not a roaring lion anymore. He's had his teeth jerked out. He's had his fangs jerked out. He's been declawed by Jesus. And he's a pussycat if you know your rights and authority over him. But if you don't, then he comes around, convinces you that he's the roaring lion, and he runs up one side of you and down the other. And God doesn't want that to happen. He wants his kids to know the authority they have. So, here's another man in the Bible that the Holy Spirit wrote through, called Peter, to tell us. So far, we've heard from Mark, James, and Peter telling us different words, but basically the same thing, that we have authority over the power of the enemy. Let's look at one more. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 27. Here's a short and sweet little verse. Karen, would you read verse 27?
And do not give the devil a foothold.
And do not give the devil a foothold. Who's he talking to there?
He's talking to us.
Talking to Christians, isn't he?
Right.
This book, Ephesians, was written to the Christian church in Ephesus. All right? And he's saying, don't any of you give a foothold or give place to the devil. What does that imply?
Don't let him in the door.
Right? And if he tells you not to do it, that implies that you have authority to keep him out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be kind of silly, wouldn't it?
Right.
To say, you know, don't give a foothold to the devil but have no authority to do it. I mean, wouldn't that be dumb? But he wouldn't have said that unless we had the authority not to let him. So he says, remember, Christians, you don't have to give any place to the devil. Don't give, you know, I hear Christians all the time saying things like that. They just don't want to live kind of a life, don't want to attract any attention to the devil because, you know, he might get you. I've heard Christians tell me that. I mean, I was at my reunion last year, and this one person I graduated from high school with who's since become a Christian, and that's great and wonderful, but she was telling me how much power the enemy had and how they just, you know, it's just amazing in these latter days. He's just running over everybody. The Christians can't do anything. The devil's taking over everything. And I said, he's not going to take over me. I'm part of everything, and he can't take over. She said, what do you mean? I said, I've got authority over the devil. And you do, too, if you just knew it. She goes, I don't think that's true. And I said, it's in the Bible. You know, and I gave her a couple of scriptures, and she says, well, I'll have to think about that a little bit. I hope she did.
She wasn't taught, was she?
No, and that's it. My people are destroyed for a lack of
knowledge.
That's exactly it. And that's
been taught, but didn't sink in.
Huh?
Might have been taught, but it didn't sink in.
Yeah. Or, you know, for
taught,
whatever reason.
Not, she didn't learn anything.
Right. Didn't comprehend.
It may have been pitched, but it wasn't caught, maybe.
There you go.
So we've heard from Mark, James, Peter, and now Paul. We've already heard from John. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It also says, you have overcome him, little children. You've already done it. Because we're why? We're in Jesus, and he did it. And we're part of his body. And if the head did it, so did the body. They're not two separate entities. And we've also covered Luke 10:17-19, that said, Jesus said, I have given you all authority over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we found out tonight that we have authority over anything Jesus used his authority over while he was on the earth. And we do it the same way Jesus did, by the same Holy Spirit, with the same authority in his name to do it, with the same power of the Holy Spirit to back us up. Isn't that wonderful? Now we can understand what Jesus meant when he went away and he said to his disciples, I'm going away. And they just basically went, oh no. And he says, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift that was. And so, Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus for showing us tonight the authority we have over the power of the enemy and just showing us the authority that we have to do any of the works that Jesus did, Father. This is a wonderful truth, Father, that you've led us into tonight and shown us. And I just thank you for it. And I ask you, Father, to bring it back to the people here in this room tonight, Father, as they go about their business this week. If there's any reason, Father, that they need to use that authority, I just ask you to quicken these words and these verses to their spirits, Father, so they can rise up strong inside by the power of the Holy Spirit and take the authority that you gave us, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay, let's go over our homework now. This will be homework for lesson number 8, and we're still on the series of how to spoil the devil's plan for your life. So, the homework for lesson 8. Just for, by way of a little review, lesson 8 covered what we have authority over. A couple of things. There's still some things we'll discuss in a future lesson, but what we've discussed so far, knowing what we have authority over, is number 1, we have authority over anything Jesus used his authority over while he was on the earth. And that's according to John 14:12. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, the works that I do shall he do also. So anything that Jesus, any works he worked or anything that he did using his power, we have authority to do also while on the earth. Number 2, we found out that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. We have authority and power over all the authority and power of the enemy. And that was based on Luke 10:19, where Jesus said, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the authority of the enemy. We have power as Christians over all the authority of the enemy. So now let's look at our homework. All right, question number one. The Christian's authority was delegated to him by blank. Who delegated the Christian's authority that we have to us? The answer to that is, of course, Jesus. And our scripture is John 14:12, where Jesus said, "He that believeth on me." Are you a believer? If you're a believer, then this applies to you. He said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And even greater works shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do." So the Christian's authority was delegated to him, and we know that from John 14:12, by Jesus. Next question. We have some authority, but we need to know what our authority blank. If we have some authority, what do we need to know about what our authority covers? We need to know, even if we have authority, it's one thing to know we have authority, but you need to know how far that authority extends and what it covers. And so you fill in that blank with the word covers or something equivalent. Next question. If we don't know that we have authority, we won't blank it. What would that be? If you don't know you have something, then you won't use it. It should be use in that blank. In other words, you can't use a tool if you don't know you have it. If you've got a set of tools out in the garage, but no one ever told you, or your wife didn't say, "I bought you a new set of tools, honey," you never use them. You don't know it's there. So if we have some authority, we need to know about it so we can use it. If we don't know what that authority covers, it won't do us blank any blank. What would go in there? That's pretty obvious, isn't it? If we don't know what that authority covers, it won't do us any good. That's pretty obvious. Christians have authority on the earth. That's where our authority extends. It's on the earth. In other words, we've regained what Adam lost. God gave him authority over the earth. And then he gave it away, basically, by sinning and turning it all over to Satan. And now Jesus has come and died on the cross and was raised from the dead so that we could gain back that lost dominion that Adam had. But that's only on the earth. Christians have authority on the earth. Next question. True or false? Christians have authority over anything Jesus used his authority over while on the earth. True or false? That's true. Remember, Jesus said, "The works that I do, shall ye do also." So we have authority, based on that statement by Jesus, to work the works that he did over anything he used his authority over while he was on the earth. True or false? Jesus did the works he did on earth because he was God. True or false? You know, a lot of people would answer that true, but that's false. Jesus did not do the works he did on the earth because he was God. Remember, Philippians tells us that he gave up his heavenly powers when he came to earth. Philippians chapter 2. And he came here and lived as a man, anointed man, under the power of the Holy Spirit, showing us what was possible to be accomplished by a man, even though he was God. I'm not saying he wasn't God, but he just didn't use his godly powers when he was on the earth. Everything he did was as an anointed child of God. And he told us so in several places, and we'll cover that in just a second. So that would be false. Jesus said in John 5:19, 5:30, that by himself he could blank, blank. What did he say? An amazing statement that I think many Christians have missed. Jesus said in these verses that by himself, Jesus could do nothing. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? In other words, what he was telling us is that he wasn't doing these works that he did because he was the Son of God, or because he was God, even though he was. That's not how he did the works. He says, "By myself, I can do nothing." Now, that only applied to him while he was on the earth.
But he said by himself, without his Father's help, under the power of the Holy Spirit, he couldn't do any of these works. In fact, he said in John 14:10, the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. In other words, he was emphasizing the fact that I am not doing these works on my own. The Father that dwells in me, he's doing the works. By myself, I can do nothing. So we see that Jesus did not do the works he did on earth because he was God, but only because he was anointed by the Spirit of God, showing us how we could live on the earth under the power of the Holy Spirit when we receive Jesus as our Savior. Jesus did the works he did on earth through the blank of the blank blank dwelling in him. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Jesus did the works he did on the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. In other words, that's where the power came from. Remember when Jesus was baptized in River Jordan? It showed the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus. And in fact, it came in the form of a dove, just symbolic that something was happening, something was entering Jesus at that time forward. And the Holy Spirit came on him to do the works that he did at that time, just like he does us when we receive Jesus as our Savior and then receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost after that. Next question, true or false? The same Holy Spirit power that dwelt in Jesus dwells in us also, or too. Is that true? I mean, is it the same Holy Spirit power, or do we have a little less of that power? No, it's the same Holy Spirit. There isn't several Holy Spirits. Jesus didn't have one Holy Spirit, and Christians have another Holy Spirit. So the same Holy Spirit power, that's an amazing thought, isn't it? Think about it. The same Holy Spirit power that dwelt in Jesus dwells in you if you're a Christian. It's there. It may be untapped by you. You may not know about it. You may not know how to use it. You may not be using it, but it's there. The same power that Jesus had in him dwells in every single Christian. I mean, think about 1 John 4:4. It says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. In other words, that Holy Spirit, that mighty Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus dwells in every Christian, and he's greater than anything in this world. That's good to know, isn't it? And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If you're a Christian, you need to know that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Just as Jesus was the temple of God, so is every Christian, except they don't live up to their mighty rights and privileges that they have, simply because many don't know. And the Word of God tells us in Hosea 4:6 that the Lord said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not for a lack of power that we're destroyed or aren't victorious in this world. It's from a lack of knowledge of who we are in Christ and what we have and how to use it. And really, that's why we're having these lessons, so we can learn these things. The blank of blank can do the same works Jesus did by using the authority in the name of blank and the blank of the Holy Spirit to back it up. Let's take it one at a time. The blank of blank can do the same works Jesus did. What would that be? Blank of blank. How about body of Christ? Us, you and I, if you're a Christian, can do the same works Jesus did by using the authority in the name of, what name do we use to unleash the authority and power that we have dwelling in us? What's the name that's greater than every other name? It's the name, is it Christ? No. Is it God? No. What is it? It's Jesus. That's the name that's been endowed with all that power. The name of Jesus, Philippians chapter 2 tells us, is the name over every other name. Some people don't realize that that's the name. Some people think Christ is Jesus' last name. It's not. Jesus was his name, and Christ describes who he was, the anointed one. But Jesus is the name with the power. So Jesus did his works. We can do the same works Jesus did by using the authority in the name of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit will then back us up when we use that name. Each blank is part of the blank of Christ. Well, you probably figured out the body of Christ. What? Each blank is part of the body of Christ. Each what? Each Christian. Are you a Christian? If you are, then you're part of the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, we're the body. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and we're his body here on the earth. What Jesus tells us to do, we carry out, just like Jesus carried out when his body literally was on the earth. Now his body in us, Christians, is now on the earth carrying out his will. That's why Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." See, those same works are going on today. The same works Jesus did when he was literally on the earth are going on today by the same body of Christ, that we are his body doing these works, just as his body did the works when he was on the earth. That's why Jesus used these analogies, called us his body, because these works are still going on through his body, you and I. Today, Father works through blanks by the Holy Spirit to do the works he wants done. Today, Father works through who? Christians, us, you and me. By the Holy Spirit, though, that's where the power comes from. See, we have the authority, and the Holy Spirit has the power. But when we act and use our authority, the Holy Spirit, power in us, backs us up and does the work. Christians have authority over blank the power of the enemy. Is it some of the power of the enemy we have authority over? No. The Bible tells us we have authority over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19 tells us that, among other places. Christians have authority over all the power of the enemy. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Praise God for that. True or false? Jesus said in Mark 16:17 that in his name everyone can cast out devils. True or false? Well, that's false. It's not everyone that can cast out devils. It's Christians that can cast out devils. No other person on the face of the earth besides Christians has the right to use the name Jesus. That's why we're called Christians, Christ-like ones. That's what that means. We're Christians. We have authority. He that believeth on me in my name shall he, what? Cast out devils and do some other things. He that believeth on me. If you're a believer on Jesus, you are a Christian, and you can have a right and the power to back you up to do the works. Now, if you're not a Christian, I don't care what other, if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Muslim, if you're anything else, you can't do these works with God's power, because that's only for Christians. Some people say, well, that's kind of narrow. I believe in diversity. I think God loves us all. He surely does love us all. But, whoa, there's a mighty mistake there. They're not all the same. Christians are the only ones that can have the power of the Holy Spirit inside them. Christians are the only ones that will go to heaven when they die. Now, that may sound narrow to a few of you, but it's not. It's true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. There's no way around Jesus. You either come through him or you don't come to the Father. So not everyone just can cast out devils, only those endowed with the Spirit of God or Christians. In Acts, it showed that rather graphically when the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast the devil out simply because they heard Paul was doing it. What happened? When Paul cast the devil out, or Christians cast the devil out, he goes. These guys tried to cast him out, and they weren't Christians, and the devil beat up on them, ripped all their clothes off, and they fled from him naked and wounded. So that's not a very good picture, and shows what will happen if you try to take some of these things upon yourself without the power of the Holy Spirit backing you up. Next question. Resist the devil, and he must blank as one in blank blank.
Resist the devil, James 4:7 tells us, and he must, not maybe, but must flee. If you know your authority and the power that backs you up and you resist the devil in faith, he must flee. And if you look up the word flee in the Greek, it says as one in terror. To flee as one in terror. I mean, completely discombobulated just came to my mind. But what I'm trying to say is that devil doesn't just walk away mumbling to himself. He flees as one in terror when we use the name of Jesus and resist him. But we must, you know, I gave away the next question, didn't I? But we must use the blank of blank to do it. What did Mark 16:17 tell us? He that believeth on me, in my name shall he cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and some other things. But we must use the name of Jesus to do it. Not the name of Christ. I mean, you hear so many Christians sometimes praying, and this is really not what Jesus said to do. He said, if you ask the Father in my name, he will give you what you ask for. Well, what is his name? Is it Christ? No. Jesus. There's the name with the power. I hear Christians all the time saying, oh, Father, I ask you in his name, or thy name, or for Jesus' sake, or in Christ's name. All those things are wrong. It's to be asked in the name of Jesus. There's the power right there. Sometimes we get a little sloppy with these things, and we need to clean it up a little bit and use that name, Jesus, like it was meant to be used. The devil goes about as a blank blank, seeking those whom he can blank. 1 Peter 5:8 has the answer to this question. It says the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he can, what? Devour. Now there's an interesting scripture to analyze. It says, the whole scripture says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion. Didn't say he was a roaring lion. He goes about as a roaring lion. Roaring simply doesn't get the job done. He can yell, and he can scream, and he can try to make you afraid, but if you'll stand up for your rights and use the name of Jesus against him, he'll flee as a whipped dog, as one in terror. So he goes, didn't say he was a roaring lion, but he does go about as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he can devour. Not that he has any right to do it. If you're a Christian, he certainly doesn't have any right. But if you'll lay down and just whimper and say, oh, here's the devil bothering me again, what am I going to do? He'll go as far as you'll let him go. But that he's going about as a roaring lion. Do you ever know somebody who makes up for it, tries to make up for in volume what they really lack in authority? They yell louder because they know they don't have the authority. Who is it you'd really listen to? I listen to someone who quietly tells me. I mean, you can just tell. Some people don't have to raise their voice. They can just quietly speak words and you listen because you know they have the authority. You don't have to yell and scream and carry on as a roaring lion. You know, that's just to distract from who they really are. They really don't have any power or authority. They're just trying to make up for it by their yelling and carrying on. So the devil goes about as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. Well, he is. He roars, but he's not a lion. He's been defanged. He's been declawed by Jesus. And so he seeks those whom he can devour. And I hope you're not one he can. I hope you know your rights. I hope you know your privileges. I hope you know that you have power to use the name of Jesus when he comes against you. And then that Satan must flee as one in terror. Name two classes of people whom he can devour. Okay, we're talking about it. Who can he devour? Well, how about non-Christians? Because they haven't accepted Jesus, they don't have that Holy Spirit power indwelling their spirit, and they don't have the authority. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, remember, in my name shall he cast out devils. He said that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. See, the conditions in both cases are he that believeth on me. So non-believers wouldn't qualify. So one class of people whom he can devour is non-Christians. How about Christians, though, that don't use their authority over him or don't know about their authority over him? You remember that scripture we quoted, Hosea 4:6? My people perish or are destroyed for lack of what? knowledge. So if you don't know your authority, if you're a Christian, you don't know you have authority over him, you don't know that the Holy Spirit lives in you and will back you up, then that devil goes about a roaring lion and you just roll up in a ball and let him have at you. You don't defend yourself. You don't use the name of Jesus. Well, then he can devour you if you don't use that name. You have the authority, but if you don't use that authority, guess what? He'll treat you just like he does with non-Christians. You know, what would happen if a policeman, he's got authority. You know, when he raises his hand at the intersection, the traffic comes to a stop, don't they? Because even though he doesn't have power to stop a car physically, he does have authority. And they know that authority will be backed up by the courts and our judicial system if anyone disobeys that. Okay? But if he doesn't know he has that authority, doesn't wear his uniform, doesn't come out there and say stop, and just walks out in the street and gets run over, just like you and me, well, then those cars can damage him, can't they? And this is a little analogy showing that we have to use the authority we've been given. Name someone Satan or the devil can't devour. Okay, we've talked about who he can. We said non-Christians and Christians who don't use their authority, he can. Well, someone he can't devour is a Christian who uses the name of Jesus and their God-given authority over him to resist him. He can't devour them. He can't devour me. He can't devour you. If you'll use that name of Jesus against him and your God-given authority, God will back you up. 1 John 4:4 says that someday we will overcome the enemy. Well, if you go back and read it, and I'll just open up to it, 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them," speaking about evil spirits, "because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world." Okay, does it say we're going to overcome him, or we have overcome them? That's false then, because it says that we have overcome them, not someday we're going to do it. Okay, and so we'll say, well, how have I overcome them? The reason the Bible tells us that we've already done it is because we're in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. We're the body of Christ, he's the head, and Jesus has defeated Satan. And so we're counted as having done it too, because we're in him. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful, wonderful truth, that we're not waiting to overcome the enemy, but since we're in you and part of your body, we've already done it. Last question. Well, greater is blank that blank in us than blank that blank in the world. Well, you know that when I just read it. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Who's in us? The Holy Spirit's in us. Who that's in the world? Satan and his demons are in the world. Well, greater is the Holy Spirit in us than the Satan's and demons in the world. Praise God for that. Well, that completes our homework.